no. Oh, I was gonna hit music today, and I forgot. Gosh darn it! We had a great discussion. We don't even need to go live because we're already full. God full. Yeah, you can never be full of God.
Never too much.
Hey, good morning. It is March 1st, the beginning of my birthday month.
Oh, Lord.
I have a whole month.
Yes. Oh, Lord.
That is the tradition that we celebrate my birthday for the entire month. I don't have a birthday. I have a birth month.
Wow. And what does that entail, actually, in the Falco House?
Yeah, it's up to you. You as the, as my...
Wing woman? As a back girl?
As my... Yeah, wing woman.
I'm officially Batgirl.
Yes. It's my birthday month. I wear a kilt most of the month. I don't know if I've shared that with you.
No.
Yes.
Well, you're Irish?
Yes, I'm part Irish.
Wow. I think I've heard you say that before.
Yes. How you guys doing? We're coming to you live from Orange County, California. It's March 1st, 9 a.m. right on time.
Look at that. Woo! Look at us.
Yes, we are right on time. This is amazing. We have a really good devotional, I think.
And you're Hedia today.
Oops, son of a gun. Here we go. Look at that.
There we are.
I'm so good.
Just in case you couldn't understand who is who.
Yes. So a couple things. There's a couple rules that are really important. One of them is you need to comment and say hi and tell us where you're watching from and say hi to the other people that are on the chat. If you know them, and if you don't, introduce yourself, get to know one another. And that's a new rule. I love that our friends know each other and say hi to each other.
Yes.
The other thing is you need to go to livingfearlessdevotional.com. And if you have been following us for any period of time, and you've not done that yet, you're no longer our friends.
Really? That's quite extreme.
Well, just because Hedy is around, I'll let you still be our friends. But you got to go there. Just go to Apple Podcast. Give us five stars. Subscribe. Give us five stars. You go here. Five stars. I told you earlier today I was already having problems. You're going to go there. You're going to subscribe. You're going to give five stars. And you're going to give a review on how amazing our devotional is. Wow, where did our thing go? Oh, that's because I put up the gizmo.
Yeah.
There we go. So livingfearlessdevotional.com. You can put in that URL. That will take you there. Or you can just go to Apple Podcast and type in Living Fearless Devotional or my name. Not Hedy's. Don't bother. It won't show up. Just put my
name. Figures.
All right. Let's get to the devotional. I forgot that I had to refresh the screen so it's not set ahead of time. It is going to be my utmost for his highest is the devotional that we are. Are you okay over there?
Sorry, just kind of posting it to my personal page so my friends can join us.
Thank you. My utmost for his highest by Oswald Chambers. A story that I share every so often just to make sure you know is that Oswald passed away before writing the devotional was actually written. And what his wife did, it was took his notes from all the, I guess, sermons and speeches that he did and put together the devotional. Aww. It is his words, but she, took all of her notes from all the devotionals and actually created and made him
that's
the author.
Sweet. What an ultimate testimony.
I know.
Her husband's love for Christ.
It's an amazing story. I got to learn more about this dude. I keep saying I'm going to do that, and yet I have not. All right. So make sure I see people watching. So make sure and comment. That would be amazing if you don't mind. All right. So we're going to be reading this devotional. Do you have any inclination as to why that picture was used today? I don't know. Nine. Somebody might know. The piercing question. I was looking for thorns, but those aren't thorns.
That's
those
what
are
I thought too.
Those are branches. I don't think those are thorns. But anyway, I get scrollized. The piercing question is the title of today's devotional. The reference is John 21:17. Do you love me? Peter's response to this piercing question is considerably different from the bold defiance he exhibited only a few days before when he declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." Our natural individuality or our natural self boldly speaks out and declares its feelings. But the true love within our inner spiritual self can be discovered only by experiencing the hurt of this question of Jesus Christ. Peter loved Jesus in the way any natural man loves a good person, yet that is nothing but emotional love. It may reach deeply into our natural self, but it never penetrates to the spirit of a person. True love never simply declares itself. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, that is, confesses his love by everything he does, not merely by his words, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. Unless we are experiencing the hurt of facing every deception about ourselves, we have hindered the work of the Word of God in our lives. The Word of God inflicts hurt on us more than sin ever could, because sin dulls our senses. But this question of the Lord intensifies our sensitivities to the point that is hurt produced by Jesus. This hurt produced by Jesus is the most exquisite pain conceivable. It hurts not only on the natural level, but also on the deeper spiritual level. The Word of God is living and powerful, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, to the point that no deception can remain. When the Lord asks us this question, it is impossible to think and respond properly, because when the Lord speaks directly to us, the pain is too intense. It causes such a tremendous hurt that any part of our life which may be out of line with His will can feel the pain. There is never any mistaking the pain of the Lord's word by His children. But the moment of that pain is felt is the very moment at which God reveals His truth to us. Hedia.
No, you start.
I come to you.
No.
What is speaking to you?
Today you're going to start.
I'm
a little.
Because this comes a little self-centered. That's why I was hesitating. I wanted to make sure that what you had to say was not self-centered, so that I could be self-centered.
But mine is a little. So.
So what comes to mind, and I hope I'm not wrong when it comes to this, is that people can say that they're going to do something until it comes to that moment of time that you have to do what you said you're going to do, especially when it comes to giving your life or being tortured or proving the amount of love you have for somebody, that you can say it. You can say the words. Saying the words is easy, and saying I love you more than anything on this planet is really easy to say. But when it comes time to show it through some type of action or some type of sacrifice is where the test comes, right? And I feel so fortunate at being a police officer. This is going to sound, I know, very bad, but I have had the good fortune to actually be tested. And it's not that I love these strangers that I put my life in front of. But there were moments of time where I rushed into a house that was on fire. I stood on the roof of a house that was on fire trying to put it out. I mean, I could go on and do these things. But I never hesitated. I never thought about it because I knew it was my job. So I felt strongly that when I put it out there that I would do this, I know 100%, because I've had the experience of actually doing that I know that I would do that. First for my children, only because you have just recently come around, but I know I've told my children all the time, I would die for you. I will do anything it takes.
Oh, I fully to make believe sure. that.
There's no doubt in my mind.
That none in mine either.
If I'm falling off the cliff and I would throw them back on the cliff and, you know, at the cost of my own life, there's no doubt in my life. But when it comes to a person like a girlfriend, fiance, spouse, that you don't have that it's a different connection. With a child, that you can go through your relationship saying it, they know, yeah, I'd die for you. But then like the guy in the movie, like Greenland, like, well, you go to the CVS. I'm going to make sure the car is safe. Like you go to the CVS and there's people with guns shooting people. Like, I'm going to stay right here. Like that. No, there's the test. You should have gone in. Like I would never do that to you. Never on the face of earth. And I can tell you that. Because there's other things that are occurring that are so macro. I always get the two confused. Because the other day, I'm going to share this with you. You don't know this, but I'm a smart ass. Well, that you know.
Little.
And I've been told that I've done this in the past by friends and other people, where I will say something to a stranger that kind of puts down the person that I'm with. Like, in even in a small sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and this is the thing, this is yesterday. So maybe not yesterday. Maybe it was the day before yesterday. And I'm hoping this is making sense. I hope this kind of brings it all together. That's how I know, because I know that this has to do with Jesus Christ, but also has to do with people in your life. Like as a man,
you love him as you love
as Christ. A man of God, right? Yes. That Oh, and no, it was Starbucks. I'm so sorry. I'm just trying to find, I want to get the context so that you remember where we were, because the guy only gave us one napkin, right? We asked for, can we get a couple more napkins? And he gave us like one napkin. I go, oh, thanks for all the napkins, dude. Like, this is like, do you not see that? And my inclination is to say yes, because she's a mess. Like, she can't eat without making a mess. And I didn't say it because I go, that wouldn't be very respectful for me to say that. The fact that I caught myself is I'm just telling you, I drove all the way home in amazement of myself.
So proud
of how much I go, God, I love this woman. There's no, and I shared with you on the couch last night. I made a little confession to her last night, but that was one of the moments where I realized how much I love you. There's nobody else I would have done that for. I would have done, my kids. These kids are a stinking mess. They're a pain in my butt. They get stuff all over the car. Like, I wouldn't have a hesitation sharing that with a stranger. But I just, and I didn't even share it with you at the time because I didn't want to be that guy either. Like, look how good I am. No. It was just in my head. I'd go, oh my gosh, that is a different kind of love for me personally. So I know that seems very strange to compare that to dying for somebody, but I know that love is there. And it's really is a God thing, because it always is, how do I make myself feel better? How do I make other people laugh at the expense of somebody else? That's always been first for me, where now it's different. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
I mean, especially towards the devotional?
Well, because my example is very similar. It's a personal example that the Lord called to mind. It was hard for me to start because there are so many things running through my head. One of which being, oh, Mariama, I love you and I miss you. And we have to get together so Kenny and Andy could meet. And we're up the street. Yes, we have to do that. They're on our list of a side note here of the little squirrel. Mariama is also a former Muslim.
Oh,
Somali,
wow.
Which is, I mean, if you think Arabs and Persians are rare, Somali converts are extremely rare.
So, oh, wow.
She's an amazing, amazing woman of God. Okay, so in learning, as I've mentioned before, love was always transactional for me. You give me something, I'm going to get some, you know, if you give me what I want, I'm going to give you a little piece. If you don't give me what I want, I'm going to punish you. And Christ has been walking me through what unconditional love means, meaning loving with the kind of love that he loves us. First, we learn how much he loves us unconditionally, and then he teaches us how to love other people unconditionally. The first person in my life that I had to learn to do that with was my daughter, because I was always threatening her with, if you did this, I'm going to do this. And if you do that, and he just made me stop doing that. I had to stop threatening her. And it was hard. It was very, very hard. I slipped up a lot of times, but it's just been an amazing journey. And the next person was you, because he's like, okay, this is the person I've picked and you're going to love him. And it's like you said, it's one thing to just say, oh, I love you, and to be emotional about it, and it's new and it's great. And I will confess a moment where, the beginning was amazing. And then he got COVID, and I was like, oh, no big deal. You know, I'm like, oh my God, we're in the middle of a pandemic. He got COVID. He was extremely sick, almost died. Fine. It was like, we made it through that. That was pretty easy. Relatively, I was like, I was so proud of myself. I was like, see, look at that, man. I stood by him, and I was like a little Florence Nightingale, and I was so proud of myself. And then Andy tells me he has cancer. And that really floored me. Mm. I gotta admit, I know I look like I took it well.
Really?
But it floored me, because I was just like, Lord, like, what? You know, it was hard. It was hard to think that that's what we were going to start our lives with. And then I realized, as he was walking me through it, he's like, when I tell you to love someone, I mean, you're going to love someone. And the pain and the difficulty and the anguish with which that love may come is all part of the process, because you grow and you learn from that process. And loving unconditionally as Christ loves the church And to be, it's the only other person we have that kind of covenant with is a spouse. So we have the covenant with the Lord, and then we have the covenant with the spouse, not even with our children. Mm. So I don't know. That's just been an amazing experience for me to just get stronger in listening to him, because I feel like though it's one thing to say it, but to actually walk it and live it is another. But the strength that comes from walking and living it is just amazing.
What do you think Oswald means by this sentence here? But the true love within our inner spiritual self can be discovered only by experiencing the hurt of this question of Jesus Christ.
Exactly.
What does that mean?
I mean, it's that, but that's what he meant to me. He's like, okay, great. Yeah, you can love this guy when everything's cool and you're having a good time. And oh my God, you seem so compatible. And he's like, but I want you to love him when I tell you he's got cancer. The pain and the fear that
the
comes,
hurt. Of the, yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's different. It's different. Mm. That's when, and it's that whole experience that Peter had with the Lord where he's like, I would never deny you. I would die for you. And the Lord's like, do you love me? Really? Do you love me? Mm. If you really love me, you're going to see the depths of your weakness when he denied the Lord and he felt so much shame over that. But then he's also going to feel the power of what it means to really love Christ and to feed his sheep.
So then he goes on, true love never simply declares itself, right. Like audibly says, look what I just did. Jesus said, whoever confesses me before men, that is, confesses his love by everything he does, not merely by his words, him, the Son of Man, also will confess before the angels of God. That means so much more to me now. I mean, I think it spoke to me and I did not even realize it. That's what I was talking about, is the words, the action that of not. And again, I know this napkin thing seems like a very small thing, but it's huge for me.
Yeah, I know you. Huge
smartass.
Yes. And I see you catching yourself all the time.
Yeah.
I do.
Really?
That one I didn't catch. But like, so Andy's used to doing everything by himself. Mm. He's used to being the one man show. As I've mentioned before, he's super dad. But like cooking, I know Andy is a great cook and he's used to cooking by himself. So I stand in the kitchen and I'm like, what can I chop for you? Can I put that in the thing? Can I wash that? And he's just like, yes, sure. And he's fighting everything inside of himself. And I can almost hear the conversation in his head. Like, don't break her heart. Let her wash, let her chop this tomatoes. Let her just do this. And we grow from the experience, right?
Yeah.
Like we always have a good time. And everything, walking with the Lord, everything is tied together. You know, like, I was just, we were just talking off camera that I have been trying to sell my house for over a year, and everybody knows me personally knows that. And it's been a source of tremendous angst in my life because I just didn't understand what, and I would constantly ask the Lord, like, what are you doing? Like, what's happening right now? Like, why am I, what is this about? And I just looked at Andy today and realized that certain promises I had made to the Lord and it just this relationship has so much to do with why everything's happening right now. I'm in escrow. My house hopefully is going to sell now. But had he let that happen earlier, I could have gone in 15 different directions. Like I might not be sitting here right now had he done that. So everything is connected. Our love and that covenant that he brought us together is all part of walking in his purpose, and that you just, everything will happen in his timing when you walk in his ways and and follow his word. So
Jessica Lynn says, your raw honesty is inspiring.
Thank awesome. You, love.
Oh, that is stronger than all the trials and tribulation.
You know it, sis.
in your, yeah, that it, it, yeah, it is hard. I can't believe how hard it is. I mean, there's a lot of things that are like that are difficult.
But, well, because you're used to doing it and doing it well and doing it fast and doing it efficiently. And now he's got this chicken there. I'm not so great at chopping tomatoes, by the way. And he's just like, okay.
Well, you talked about almost chopping off your finger.
Yes. And you're like, really? But okay.
And I go, I don't want to, I'm so hungry. I don't want to have to go to the emergency room before I eat. That's such a damper in the meal. I want to take you to.
Yay on the escrow. Yes. Danielle knows. Yes, Danielle. I wait till I tell you the story. There's so many more pieces that I don't want to bother our general public with, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, I know that was one of your main, that was one of the biggest issues that we needed to get over before we could begin to, you know, live our life together.
And just to share a small portion of it, it was going into escrow and the house finally selling is actually connected to Andy's cancer. So like it was, you know, the Lord and I had a conversation and he wanted certain commitments from me. And then like literally 12 hours later, the house went into escrow. And it was, I just cried and it was so powerful because you just, it reminds me of the devotional yesterday where it's like your common sense is telling you, no, you don't do that. Like that doesn't make any sense. Don't do that. But the Lord is saying, walk in my ways. You know what I mean? Listen to me, be obedient and this will all work out. And it's kind of like the same obedience again, because of the covenant between a husband and wife is that the Lord says, when I bring you together and you're in that covenant, the woman listens to the man and you've got to trust that it, when he's following God, that God's commandment that comes down to him will is what you're supposed to get. Mm. In other words, like don't question that I am passing that information down through this chain that he has ordained. He said it has to be that way. So we can't take portions of the Bible that we like and then and ignore the ones that we don't like.
Like some pastors are doing.
Right. Exactly. It's one Bible. It's a living Bible. The commandments are all quite clear.
It can't be canceled.
Yes. Not part of my, what's the other word I came up with?
Yeah.
I'm just a little tired of cancel culture. rejectionist. We can't be a rejectionist.
Right.
An oppositional.
Mary Gill, greetings in the name of Lord, dear family in Christ. Evangelist Mary Gill watching from Pakistan.
Fantastic, Mary. Thank you for joining us.
How awesome is that?
Not easy to be a Christian in Pakistan. God bless you.
It makes me so happy. The people from India that have joined us and that's They're drawn to your story, I'm sure. That is amazing. So the question I had for you is that both of us have been in previous marriages and relationships.
Yes.
That did not end well.
No. Well, we have some beautiful kids as a result.
We do. We have some amazing kids. What can we give some action steps? Because people are going to look at us like, well, you guys have you're still in the honeymoon phase. Like you're talking about how you love each other. I mean, we all did that in the honeymoon. Well, maybe it will last forever. I'm already convinced. God's told us. But what are some action steps for people that maybe been in a relationship for 10 years and it's kind of like they're at a distance, you know, they're not connected. What is it?
Has been fix it?
Yeah.
Like, back together?
Is it the fact that we pray to get together that I did not do that with the other people that I've been with in my life, that prayer is the answer? Is it doing this devotional every day, you know, spending time reading it together and looking at the passages together? For me, that seems to be one of the biggest differences of being, of course, walking with God in our lives and Jesus being present in everything that we do is huge. But how do you get there? I mean, I can't imagine somebody like us coming to me in one of my old relationships and saying, well, just pray more often. I mean,
you know better because you've been a Christian a long time and you know what it's like to have been in a marriage while in Christ or maybe not. Maybe it was
we went to church together and she held my hand at church, but didn't hold my hand anywhere else because she wanted her friends to think that we were, you know, happy.
Well, I think for me, for sure is, and I've said this to you where we we're still shedding our old ways, whether it's our personalities or habits. And I constantly tell them, listen, if we revert back to those people, we're done because he knows how to fail and I know how to fail. And so I think it's always keeping God first. And I'm now, like, the Lord's called two statements to mind at those times where one of them, both of them I have expressed to Andy, where I said, we are soldiers of Christ and everything we do must reflect that. So it's, we cannot engage in conduct unbecoming an officer. So that's a military term where if as soldiers of Christ, we need to constantly remember that our kids are watching, that people are watching, that God is watching, that a theme that constantly comes back to me is the Lord's like, I did not bring you together. I did not create this covenant for the two of you to revert back to those people. Mm-hmm. Like I brought you together to fight in my army. You know what I mean? As Pastor Jack keeps telling us, you're created for such a time as this. You believed in Christ for decades, but he called you a year and a half ago. You touched his face and received a powerful infusion from the Holy Spirit and your life changed. Hmm. Like he literally called you up for duty.
Yep.
He for sure did the same thing with me. I was lost in a false religion. And he's like, I've just enlisted you, daughter. You know, he called us up for service and we can't take that calling and suddenly be like, wow, this is great. Like, okay, so now what are we going to do? Let's go party. And well, you know what I mean? Like, we don't need to go to church this week. And what, why are we doing this devotional? Yep. Let's do a different subject. You know, he's calling us for his purposes. And if we ever lose sight of that, that's when we're lost.
Yep.
And I think that's maybe where other couples have gotten lost is just kind of getting in the rut of life and forgetting that, hey, I'm alive and I am a soldier of Christ at this time. What is the Lord calling me to do?
There's been a couple of people in my life that, and everybody has those people, somebody that has said something, either you're watching somebody speak on stage that says something that catches your attention. You go, oh my gosh, I cannot ever forget that. And it becomes part of your life. And there's one thing I want to share in regard to my question to Hedia. And I'm going to relate it first to something I heard in the police academy. Years ago that always stuck with me. It made my entire career. This one statement that a lieutenant from Orange County Sheriff's Department, he was speaking, and I don't know if it was on ethics or what it was on. I think it actually had to do with car stops or something like that, how to make a car stop on somebody. But one of the things he said as before he left, he says, yeah, I just wanted to leave you this. Just remember that no matter what's going on in your life, no matter how bad your day is or how good your day is, when you're on a call with a victim or a witness or even a suspect, that what's happening at that moment is the most important thing happening in their life. So no matter what's going on in your life, you have to teach to treat that person with respect and understand that this thing that's happening, if it's a cat in a tree, if it's a medical assistance, if it's a car crash, whatever it is, that your demeanor needs to be one of respect. No matter if you're fighting, you fought with your spouse before you went to work that day, that you have a uniform on, you're representing the community and the city, and that your job is to understand that it is the most important thing happening in that person's life and treat it that way. Put everything else aside until you're done with the call and then go back to feeling sorry for yourself. And I never forgot it. I'm probably pretty close to being verbatim to what he said. And I was listening. I don't know why on that day, but that thing caught me.
And what does that mean to you now?
But that's not where I'm going.
Oh,
I'm just going to say, but that's the thing that caused me. I got police officer of the year. I got, all kinds of awards and achievements. I was on television that's the thing. I think that's the one statement that I heard that completely changed my police career. It made me always be as respectful as possible and never forget what that lieutenant said on that day. So now in regard to what it is we're talking about today and just something that you can remember is that, and I've said this 100 times and you probably heard me say it, you probably expect me to say this again, is that when I heard, and I don't know if it was Jack or Mark Driscoll from Trinity Church in Scottsdale, Arizona, said you need to be in the Word 4 times or more a week.
Yes.
And ever so since important. I've done that, prior to me doing these devotionals, I was in the Word 4 times a year. really reopening up a book, like opening up the book so that it makes that cracking noise. Like you don't want it to make that cracking noise anymore. You want it to flop open.
Yeah.
Right. And just because you're opening it so much and you're so in it so often. Yes. But every book that opened that had anything to do with God or Jesus, it was like opening it for the first time. But now, since the difference in my life with God and the difference in my life overall, the positive impact has been that I've been in in some type of devotional, the Bible, a book in regard to Christianity, is that I've been doing it almost 7 days a week, probably 7 days a week. As a matter of fact, 7 days a week, more than four times a week. But it's because I heard that somebody say that, and it just spoke to me that that's the difference. That's the commitment I have to have as a, if I'm going to be this man that you love and want to spend the rest of your life with, that my children love and want to follow my steps and respect me and love me and understand when I'm punishing them, that I'm doing it because it's something that needs to be done in order for them to be better people. That if I do that in Christ, life is going to be much better. But it was hearing that you need to be in the Word of God more than four days a week or more was one of those moments, much like that one with the lieutenant.
Nice. Well, I mean, I think the story you told about the lieutenant is exactly what I was referring to us, mm-hmm. is that you got to remember that's the most important thing in their life, is that that's what I was saying about being soldiers of Christ, mm-hmm. that we are always in this uniform, and that everybody we interact with has to recognize, wow, those folks are amazing. Like, they're kind and they're giving and they're compassionate. Wow, those are representatives of Christ. It's very similar, yeah. to what he was trying to teach you about being an officer, is that we are soldiers in the army of Christ.
Somebody should have taught the usher.
Yeah, exactly. Back to that with the usher.
Yeah.
Like, he forgot. He's literally wearing the uniform and defiling it, you know, because when you do that, it grieves the Holy Spirit that, you know, you're supposed to be a source of light and salt and light on the earth in representing Christ. And you can always remember that.
Yeah. For those of you that are watching that don't know, there's just an usher at church that has taken his job a little bit too seriously,
or misunderstanding the role,
misguided.
Of the job. Yeah,
it has no discernment in how he handles his job. I'm not sure what Pablo wants us to make him an earring.
Not sure what that is about.
He thinks he's on an earring show.
Yeah,
apparently.
Maybe.
But Pablo, I can't help you with the earring. Yeah. So Mariama Burger.
That's my friend.
We are being reduced. We are always being reduced by Jesus so we can be like him.
Exactly.
Awesome.
Finding the joy, count it all joy in the suffering, right?
Yep. Yeah. So you don't know Mary Gill?
I do not.
That's interesting. Interesting. I love this stuff. I don't think we're missing any other. God's timing. I think we got them all.
Yes.
Just want to make sure I didn't miss any. Any last words on the devotional? Is there anything else that we missed as far as... something we need to discuss?
No, all I can say is, like, just step into the pain. Like, when Christ is taking you through something, lean in, because there's always a glorious lesson to be learned at the end of it.
Was there a lesson when the bed hit my knee and caused that pain?
So, I don't know. You got to tell me.
Let's see. Well, I'm looking at a couple of these passages here. This is Luke 12:8. Also, I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, him the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God. That was from that sentence that I read. And then Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, yes. piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
We had a very cool discussion about that.
The two-edged sword.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to tell him?
You had the epiphany.
Well, the epiphany was the way Andy heard it and felt it was different than what I had heard other people talk about in the past, because usually I hear teachers talk about the two-edged sword being, it's so sharp and precise, it cuts between bone and marrow, and it can be it can reach the depths of your consciousness in a way that you don't even realize existed, or the problems or the things he's trying to show you about yourself that you didn't even know were there. But the way
Andy heard it and described it to me was that it's like the way we use it commonsensically now, proverbially, like it's sharper than a two-edged sword, meaning that it's just, it hurts and it heals at the same time. That it could, it's doing damage, but it's fixing you in the damage. I mean, that's, oh my God, so much of walking with Christ feels like that. It hurts so good. The best way to say it, you're like, oh my God, this is so painful and so difficult, but I know I'm becoming a better person as a result.
It's like sometimes with that joke that I want to say, but I go, oh, but it wouldn't be lifting you up. It would be almost putting you down.
Yeah. And see how good you felt.
I know, but the joke would be so good.
Not really. Thank you for that.
I don't know if I like it better. I mean, driving all the way home, I was so giddy with myself.
But that's awesome. I'm giddy now knowing that you didn't do it.
I'm a new man.
Oh, it's beautiful.
I'm gonna maintain it the best I possibly can. Because it's so natural for me to say things. You know this of me. Like, yes. It's just so natural. Like, you'll say something like afterwards and I'll go, I don't even remember saying that.
Yes.
I don't even remember.
And I try to catch him every now and then, like right when it's happening. I'm like, ow. Ow. And he's like, what? Why? I mean, I was just kidding around. I was like, yeah, but at my expense. Yeah. That hurt.
Yeah, but I'm hearing you.
Yeah, you are. Oh, yeah. I know that.
Yes.
And I'm so grateful.
So happy to see you maturing in such a short time, dear sister. I am blessed to hear you both have a blessed day.
Thank you, my love.
That's awesome.
I appreciate it.
All right, my friends, that's it for today for the devotional and my utmost forest highest. I'm really looking forward to getting it. We've been kind of, sharing that the next book is probably going to be Hunkelsdorf. What's his name?
Winklesworth. That's an even more intense devotional.
Is it really?
Yeah.
Is it a lot more for me reading? Because I kind of like how short.
It's a little more reading occasionally,
maybe,
but
I'll
we can take excerpts. Yeah. Yes.
Or I'll read part and you read another part.
We can do that too. But when we read it ahead of time, we can see like, oh, this is the meat of it. This is the part we want to talk about.
I really, really learned, and I did not know this. This book was, this devotion was given to me by a friend. His name's Bruce. And it was after we reconnected. He and I worked together at Anaheim Police Department. He gave me this book. And he goes, here, you need this. And I said, okay. And then I started reading it. And I like what I was reading because it was connecting with some of the other books I was reading. A couple of them are here. I know this is going to sound strange, but Color, Communism, and Common Sense, there was some connection between the early days. And then another one by John MacArthur called the Book on Leadership, which is a really good book. And so the devotional would happen to be connecting with those books I was reading. But now it's become solely about Utmost for His Highest, the devotional. And now I'm seeing so much more out of just how powerfully his wife and Oswald, I'm sure, put each one of them together, that there's almost these lessons now, as opposed to a daily devotional. It's almost like a week devotional put in daily lessons.
Yeah.
Does that seem right?
Yeah. There's themes.
Yeah,
absolutely. He keeps on a theme for a couple of days.
Yep.
And I think it's intentional that they culminate in a final lesson by walking you through the stages of the lesson throughout the week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how many of you have, like me, like bought a bunch of devotionals that have sat on the shelf, and you are, this experience with you is the first time I'm actually doing one every day. And I didn't realize how powerful they were. And I had so many friends who were like, oh, you should read this devotional. Yeah. And I'm like, and I used to read like on the Bible app, like 4-day plans and 5-day plans. Yeah. And I would go through them really quick on my phone, but nothing has been like this. So I strongly encourage you to try that. And I think that's great advice for you that you were saying about people that are in relationships that may have gotten stale or distant. Do a devotional together.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's amazing. It really is.
And I'm going to tell you the truth. It was difficult in the beginning. That was so shocking now when I read them.
To do them with me or just by yourself? Okay.
Because I didn't do them with Eddie to begin with. Those of you just joining, I started this probably 4 months, maybe 3 months before you and I met.
Yes.
Something like that. And I remember in those days, I was saying, I have a Facebook post saying, hey, anybody else read this Utmost for Your Highest, book? that has to read it out loud like five times before you even understand what the guy's saying. Like it wasn't making any sense. Wow. None of it was making sense. It's not that it's still the same book, but now I read it and it speaks so much to me every day. So I want to share with you that you'll like kind of like the Bible. Like yes. You'll start reading it and you'll go, what is all this begotten and begotten and all this stuff that there's like, it doesn't make any sense. Like, what's this language that this is supposed to be English. But then in Oswald's devotional, it was so, to me at the time, complex. And it was so hard for me to understand what he was even trying to tell me, but I stuck with it. I made a commitment to stick with it. And I stuck with it, and I also referenced other books, and it led me to other, you know, what's the app I'm using now? Bible what? The Bible Gateway. It sends you to Bible Gateway when you click on when you're at utmost.org and you click on the links, it'll send you to Bible Gateway where you can read the actual, you know, passage and then read the entire chapter or the entire book if you want to. And that has been even more. Once I started doing that, which I wasn't doing before.
That's what I was going to tell you.
That's
when it came to life, because this is the living word of God. So when we read the actual Bible, that's when this comes alive.
Yeah.
Because otherwise it's just words on a page, black letters on a white page. But when you add God's word to it, it gets the, it pierces like the two-edged sword.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Carl says he misses the geese at the park. Devotionals, because the geese used to attack me.
Squirrel.
I mean, not really attack me. I mean, they would kind of. They would go, wah, wah, wah. And I'd go, I'm trying to talk here. And the geese would come up and quack it. We may have to make take a trip over.
Absolutely.
I'll have to take you to my park bench.
Absolutely.
I've not taken you to my park bench yet.
You have not.
Oh my gosh. And the geese will come up and will visit us. And they got to waddle. And sometimes I had to pause because they were so noisy.
I can imagine.
Thanks, Carl, for that memory. But it was good times. But it was, it's a process. And I'm going to encourage those of you that are a couple that may be struggling, may not be struggling, maybe you got stale. Surely things get stale after a while. But the devotionals really have been amazing. This is the other that just came to me is that starting a relationship this way has to be by far the best way to start a relationship. Sure. I mean, the other ways you start them are you go to the bars, you jump into bed, that's how you start it. But this is completely different than what I've done before.
Me too.
And it seems to be working. So being in God's word 4 days or more a week, it surely is one of the things that I want to leave you with. Just do
going
it.
Going to church together. Yeah. I mean, we have friends whose spouses, one of the spouses, whether it's the man or the woman, don't come to church with them all the time. And even that, hurts sometimes, because I think it's the experience of worshiping together. It's making a day out of it. Like, that's what our Sundays are all about. And I think that's another really important way of bonding.
Yep. We look forward to it. Sunday's our favorite day of the week.
Yes.
Especially when we can go with the kids.
Yes.
All right, my friends, we love you so much and we thank you for joining us and allowing us to talk through our life together. And I hope that in some way there's some inspiration or some story that comes out of it that helps you guys with whatever's going on in your life. We didn't have a God moment today.
We've had tons of God moments.
I know. Here, I'll just do it for all of them. I got to add the God moment for our podcasting people. I don't know why that makes me laugh. I just love it.
It's very cute.
Yeah, thank you. All right, that's what I was waiting for. All right, my friends, we love you. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. Thank you for joining us from Pakistan. That makes me so happy. It really is.
The magnitude of the internet.
It just makes me so happy.
Yes.
It fuels me for the next 100 shows that I do, that they're somebody's watching from these other countries where Christianity is not quite looked at on a positive light.
Yeah. God protect you and protect your faith and empower you to reach more people with the gospel. That's just fantastic.
Yeah.
We will keep you in prayer.
Awesome. Hi, Priscilla. Nice to see you. All right, my friends, we love you. And as Hedy always says,
God bless you. Have a beautiful day.
Take care. Bye.